bring a message that I'm simply calling Pursuing the Presence. And, you know, it's really, really difficult at the moment. I'm sure, you know, we're not alone. We're like everyone else. It's just really, really difficult in this new environment. And one of the things that we have to be clear about and we have to ensure is that we don't lose the sense of God's presence. And, you know, we have to be careful that we don't get caught up in trying to do all these new things, get to grips with all these new things, and we forget about the reason and the person why we're here. And that's not just why, you know, here in the building. I'm talking about, you know, whether you're at home or not. And this morning, I just want to maybe just offer some brief ideas in terms of how we, who are the supposed people of God, can pursue the presence of God, because we are called to pursue the presence of God. We need the presence of God. We need the revelation of the Holy Spirit in order that we can be the people that God has called us to. And so those of you that have your Bibles, I don't know if I will use it, but going to Matthew 23, your physical or your electronic Bible, and going to Matthew 23. And in Matthew 23, what you'll find there is Jesus rebuking the religious leaders of the day, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, about how they conduct themselves. And it's possible for every single one of us, myself included, you know, it's possible for every single one of us to get caught up in religion, get caught up in ritual and just doing the things we do because that's what we always do. And actually, we don't even notice that the presence and the Spirit of God has left the building. It's true. And Jesus was rebuking the religious leaders of the day about that very thing. He's saying that you're conducting yourself, you're on the outward face of it, everything looks okay. And I wonder how many of you fall into that category this morning. On the outside of everything, it looks okay. But what's going on the inside? One of the things that I say constantly is that God is never concerned about what is happening on the outside. He goes straight to the heart. He cuts through all those things that we think fools other people, but it doesn't fool God. God cuts straight through. It goes straight to the heart, and God is always concerned about what is happening on the inside, not what is happening on the outside. And that's not to say the outside isn't important in terms of the actions that we do. But God is more concerned about what's happening on the inside. And I don't know about you, but there are moments that I have in my life when, you know, I'm sat at home and I'm sat with Jill, my wife, and, you know, we have these moments where maybe Jill is reading a book and I'm doing something else. We're in the same room, but we're not really talking. Well, we're not talking. There's no physical communication, but we're just mindful of the fact that we are in the same room and we're in one another's presence, and that's enough. How many of you have moments like that? You know, you married couples. You know, you don't have to say anything, you don't have to do anything, but you are just happy being in the presence of the one that you love. And occasionally I say to myself, I think to myself, it doesn't get any better than this. Doing nothing, being nothing, just being in the presence. And you know, God wants us to have exactly the same relationship with Him. God wants us to be just in His presence, wanting nothing, asking for nothing, but just enjoying being in His presence. And some of us have forgotten how to do that. We're so busy in the doing that we forget that God just wants us to sit at His feet, to be in His presence, and to enjoy His company. We don't always have to be saying something when we're in the presence of God. One of the things that I don't know, you know, for those of you who are perhaps in a married relationship, one of the things that certainly I might have thought about, you know, this year we've been married 36 years, and I know that before we were married that I may have been, if you forgive me, for thinking that intimacy was sexual passion. Before we got married, before I was married, you know, as a younger person, and maybe you're the same. You know, there was a stage when I thought that intimacy was about sexual passion and romance. But what I've learned over these 36 years is that intimacy is not defined by our emotional highs. It's not. And likewise, our relationship with God is not defined on whether we feel good, whether we feel, you know, whether we feel the presence or not. Because God is not a feeling. We have to be intentional and deliberate about pursuing a greater intimacy with our Father God. True intimacy is rooted in an ongoing relationship that allows us to know the individual or the person well enough that actually we don't need to say anything, we don't need to do anything, it's just enough to be in the presence. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know, if you have a good relationship, it's enough just to be in the presence and the company of that individual. In Matthew 23, Jesus rebukes the religious leaders of the day. And I'm just going to read from verse 16 down to verse 24. And Jesus says this, "Woe to you, blind guides, who say, 'If anyone swears by the temple, it is nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he is bound by his oath.' You blind fools, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that has made the gold sacred? And you say, 'If anyone swears by the altar, it is nothing. But if anyone swears by the gift that is on the altar, he is bound by his oath.' You blind men. For which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? So whoever swears by the altar swears by it and by everything on it. And whoever swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. And whoever swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits upon it. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. There you ought to have done without neglecting the others, or these you ought to have done without neglecting the others. You blind guides, straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel." Friends, biblical intimacy, as the Bible describes it, is the word knowing. It says, Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived. You can read that in Genesis 4, verse 1. And when we contrast Adam's experience of knowing his wife, Eve, where it says Adam knew Eve, and I know sometimes people joke about it, you know, but it's you know, in the scripture, it makes it quite clear. When Adam knew Eve, David's experience of knowing Bathsheba was very different. In fact, when you contrast David's experience with Bathsheba, what you read there, and maybe you've never noticed it, but what you read there is you don't read the word know. It doesn't say that David knew Bathsheba. And for those of you who are unfamiliar with the account, David should have been at war. The scriptures, the Bible says it was a time when men go to war. But David chose to stay in the palace, and he was on the balcony or on the roof of the palace, and he looked out and looked across the city, and he could see on a rooftop a woman bathing, cleansing herself, having just finished her monthly cycle. She was bathing on the rooftop, cleansing herself, and David catches sight of this. And in that moment, something stirs in David's heart, and he makes a decision that he wants this woman, and so he sends the woman's husband, because she was married, to war. And it was a classic. You know the situation where people are looking for volunteers and everyone's in a line, and everyone else but one person steps back, and you're just left by yourself? It was a bit like that. David sends Uriah to the front line, and he gives the instruction, send him to the front line, the place where the battle is fiercest, and everyone step back. Leave him out there by himself so that he gets killed. Just so that David could have Bathsheba. And it says in 2 Samuel 11:4, it doesn't say that David knew Bathsheba, because there is a difference. It says that David lay with Bathsheba. David shared a moment of passion with Bathsheba, but he didn't know her, because it says that they had no ongoing relationship. And of course, you read about David later on having another child with Bathsheba, but that it still doesn't tell us that there was an intimate, ongoing, meaningful relationship with Bathsheba. They weren't intimate in the biblical sense of the word. And God's desire for us as his people is that God desires that we should know him and that we should have an intimate relationship, that we should walk in intimacy and in fellowship with him. God himself proved the fact that he desires to have an intimate relationship with us by forming the body of the first man, Adam. Note that when he formed Adam, it says this, it says that he breathed life into Adam. This was different, because everything else in creation, God spoke and created. But because of his desire to have an intimacy with mankind, it wasn't good enough just to speak. God himself drew close and breathed the word of life into Adam's lifeless body. God did not distance himself from Adam until Adam himself later sinned. And at that moment, when Adam chose to move away and to wreck that intimacy and that relationship with Father God, God set in place a plan of redemption designed to bring the fallen man, to bring us back from our fallen state, back into an intimate, a deep, meaningful relationship with himself. That's what the plan of redemption's about, bringing us, restoring us back to the place where we should always have dwelt. But because of sin, it broke that intimacy. It broke the relationship that God desires to have with us. Paul, the apostle, understood God's desire for intimacy with us. And having considered everything in his life, Paul wrote this in Philippians 3, verses 7 to 10. Paul said, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish or garbage. Well, actually, that isn't what Paul said at all in verse 8. The Greek word that Paul uses is the word skubala. And that word literally means dung, and that's putting it politely. But that's literally what Paul says. Having discovered the intimacy of Christ, everything else is like dung. Excrement. That I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. You see, when we get to know God, when we draw near to God, even our very best seems like dung. Isaiah, when he was before God and he became aware of God's presence and God's holiness and God's righteousness, Isaiah cried out, woe to me, for I am undone. I am undone. And that's what happens, friends. When we draw near to God, the thing we become aware of is our own inadequacy, our own shortcomings, our own failings. Because when we stand in the presence and are mindful that we are in the presence of a holy God, we realize we have nothing to bring. You see, intimacy, the intimacy that God desires to have with us, doesn't just happen. It's something that we have to work at. It's something that we have to intentionally pursue. Those of you who have been married for any length of time know that marriages don't just happen. You have to work at them. If you want a good marriage, you have to work at them. It's not all roses. It's not all good in the garden, but you have to work at it. And if any of you, if some of you are watching this morning, and this is so important. Listen, our relationship with God is not based on emotion. It's based on who He is, what He says He will do, and what He has already done through Christ Jesus. If you want to know why maybe your relationships keep falling apart, it's because you're basing your relationships on your emotions. One day you feel as though you love someone, the next day you don't, and you just move with your emotions. But listen, any relationship that is of any worth, of any significance, you cannot stand on your emotions. There are times when you may not feel it, but you know it. And so you resolve in your heart to work and to keep pushing through in order to develop a deeper and a greater intimacy in that relationship. And it's the same with God. You might not feel Him at times. There are days when you feel far away from Him. Listen, is it God that's moved? Of course it isn't. God has already said He'll never leave or forsake us. It's our position that's changed. It's when we allow things to get in the way of that relationship with Father God, things that cloud our view of Him and hinder that relationship that God intends to be unhindered and just just an open relationship between Him and us. I'm not saying I have all the answers, because I don't. I'm a student of Jesus just like you. And I'm constantly learning every single day how to move closer, how to become more like Jesus. I haven't got all the answers. That might surprise you to know, but I don't. I don't have all the answers. And neither do you. But what I have is a simple desire that as God by His Spirit reveals to me and shows me something in my life that needs to be dealt with, then, you know, there's an openness. I just say, yes, Lord. Yeah. If it brings me closer to being like Jesus, if it brings me into a deeper relationship with You, then I'm up for it. Is anyone else up for a deeper relationship with God? Because that's what God desires. Listen, God desires a far deeper, far more intimate relationship with us than we ever will have a desire to have with Him. But He wants to bring us into a deeper relationship. I'm just going to give you a few things this morning that they're not solutions, but they can help. You can add them to, if you like, to your spiritual toolbox that will help you and help us to draw nearer and to maybe put aside those things that have confused and caused us to soiled the relationship, for want of a better expression. The first thing is this, is that we need to avoid substituting religious activity for relationship. Stop getting confused with religious activity for relationship. One of the things that I feel that God has spoken to me over these last 14, 15 months is that we can't do church the same. And I'm struggling with that at the moment, because I'm trying to work out what that might look like. But one of the things that I'm absolutely convinced of is that God does not want us doing the same things we were doing before. Because if we are honest, friends, it was a lot of religious activity and very little relationship. And that might surprise you, but it's true. We can be so busy just going through the ritual and the routine that we miss having that relationship, that dynamic relationship that God wants to have. The Israelites made exactly that mistake. They came to believe that their religious works, their rituals, were the same as their relationship with God. Isaiah commended them for practicing only the outward religion, but failing to comprehend the deep internal relationship that God wanted to have with them. Jesus, as we've just read in Matthew 23, preached and spoke about this attitude of a religious spirit, a religious nature, and he warned against it. He spoke about the religious leaders talking about the fact that they walk about with their phylacteries, you know, big, huge phylacteries, with their heads up and all the right clothes, looking the part, but not having a relationship with God. And if you're not sure what a phylactery is, it's basically a post box that they used to wear on their heads. Some of the Orthodox Jews still do it today. You'll see it. It's a black box that they wear on their heads. And it has some text in there from the Torah, from the first few books of the Bible. And it's a reminder. It serves as a reminder to them to keep the law. The bigger the box, the more text you could put in. The bigger the box, the more righteous you look. And we might not wear phylacteries, but there are certain things that some of us do, you know, and we think that if we do more of this, if we do it bigger, grander, if we let people see, then we're more righteous. But God says he's not interested in that. Jesus rebuked those who were prophesying and casting out devils and performing seemingly great works. He said, you don't even know who God the Father is. You see, God places far more value on our relationship with him than anything we do. And we need to guard, friends, against the error of just going through religious ritual. We need to change our religious mindset. There was a time, you know, going back years ago, when, in certain Christian circles, you know, you couldn't even walk into a pub and have a coffee. It was just the fact that you were going into a pub. Didn't matter what you were doing in the pub, it was the fact you were going into a pub. And we need to break, listen friends, we need to get rid of those religious attitudes that bind and hinder us, because God is looking for intimate relationship. And the thing is when we get our relationship right with God, all of those other things follow. We don't have to do it. Again, Hebrews 4, I think it is, reminds us. It talks about God. It talks about Jesus, the great high priest. And it talks about the fact that when Jesus had done everything, and Jesus has done everything, it tells us that Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Father. And the fact that Jesus is seated now in heaven is the indication, it's the message to us that Jesus has done everything, because the priest could only sit down when he'd finished the day's offerings. The fact that Jesus is permanently seated in heaven tells us that he's done everything that he needs to do, and there's nothing else to do. He's done it all for us. He's made it possible for us to have a relationship with God the Father. And in that chapter, it talks about those who enter into God's rest also rest from their own works or their own labors. And that's what God is looking for. He's not looking for us to do things for him, as it were, but he's looking for us just to be with him. God is more pleased to have us walk with him than he is to have us work for him. Let me say that again. God is more interested in us walking with him than he is us working for him. Because what he's looking for is relationship. And listen, that's not to negate. I'm not negating service. That's necessary. But God is looking for something far more important. He is looking for relationship with us. So friends, let's not substitute religious activity for relationship. God wants us to walk with him, not work for him. The second thing is this, is that we seek the presence of God in his word. There's no getting around it at all. This book that we call the Bible, we seek God's presence in his word. You see, intimacy cannot be established if it's divorced of relationship. There's no intimacy if we are divorced from relationship. You can't have intimacy for someone you're not in relationship with. You can't have intimacy with someone that you are divorced, and that means separated from. There is no intimacy when we are divorced from relationship. There's no intimacy, let me put it another way, when we're divorced from presence. If we don't know the presence of God, we can't have intimacy. But sadly, as students of Jesus, we aren't always sure how to connect with the presence of God. And I'm careful how I say that in terms of connecting with the presence of God, because again, we know the scriptures say that Jesus will never leave or forsake us, and we also know that as students of Jesus, as those who are born again believers, that God has made his habitation not in bricks and mortar, but he's made his habitation, his dwelling place, inside of us. And therefore, if we are students of Jesus, then God is always with us. But we also know that we don't always consciously sense him. We're not always consciously aware of his presence. And so what I'm talking about is, how do we move? How do we have more times, increase those moments where we are consciously aware of his presence and what he wants to do, rather than moments when we're wondering where God is in all of this? And people are asking questions, where is God? Well, let me tell you, God is only a prayer away. He's that close. Sadly, too many of us look for an experience of God. We come in and we say, oh, the music, or as we say in Christian circles, we say the worship. But again, the music is not the worship. We say, oh, the worship, it was great. I feel, you know, I've really felt the presence of God. Or we leave the building and we say, oh, I didn't really feel anything. You know, and we think it's all about our experience. It's not. Come on, we're called to be mature believers. It's not about our experience. Listen, don't get me wrong. When the presence of God shows up, you're going to have a good experience. When the presence of God shows up in the building, you're going to enjoy being in the building. You're not going to want to leave the building. But what I'm saying is, it's not about just the experience. Some people will go from place to place and they'll go, oh, I'll listen to this speaker over here, because when I listen to this speaker, they're really anointed. I'll go to this place because the Spirit's moving in that place. I'll go over here. And people chase. They're not chasing the presence. What they're chasing is, they're chasing an experience. They're chasing an experience. But listen, the way that any of us can learn the intimacy, a deeper intimacy with God, is through the Word. Through the Word. Because it's in the Word of God that we all have access to, that we can have relationship with God. It's through the Word that God, by His Spirit, speaks to us directly. Every single one of us who are believers in Christ Jesus need the revelation of the Holy Spirit. And we talk about that, don't we? We talk about the fact that we need revelation of the Spirit. And we do, because when we, without revelation, if we come to this Word without the revelation of the Holy Spirit, it's just another book. It's just another book. But when God, by His Spirit, breathes on it and He brings the revelation, then the things that we have read time and time again come alive. It begins to show us the heart of God. How many times have you read something and said, I didn't see that. I didn't know that about God. You know, I've been a student of Jesus now for about 46 years. And I never stop learning something new about God. Because there is always something new. But that only comes through the revelation. And there is, you know, there's the contradiction, if you were. You know, because we know that God never changes. It says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And yet we're always learning something new about Him. But that only comes with revelation. Genesis 3:8 tells us, "Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden." You see, back right at the very beginning, God's presence was his voice. God's presence was his voice. And God hasn't stopped speaking. His presence still comes in the through the voice of God. And the only way, you know, or the way that you're going to hear the word of God or the voice of God is through his word, by spending time in the word of God. God's presence, his intimate presence, is still with us through the word. And the great thing is this, is that the voice, the presence, is always available to us when we come to this word. I don't know if you're like me, but I've said this before, I'm an early riser. I prefer the morning to the evening. I'm more alert early morning. And so I make time, and I know some of you do the same thing. I make time first thing in the morning to come aside. I'm fortunate that I have an office at home, so I can go to my office, I can spend time in the Word, I can spend time in the presence of God. And I'm not asking, I don't ask God, you know, what do you want? I don't ask God, what do you want to say for the church? I don't ask him that. I ask him, what do you want to say for me? What do you want to say speak into my life? What is it you want to deal with me? Because those moments are when I hear the voice of God, when he speaks, and by his spirit he is involved in a life-transforming work. And friends, we need to make time to get into the word of God so that we can hear his voice, so that he can bring us back to that place of intimacy that some of us have lost. In John 14, verses 15 and 21, it says this, "If you love me, keep my commands." And so how are we going to keep his commands if we don't know what they are? If we're not spending time in the word of God, how do we know what God is saying? "Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me." So again, our expression of our love for God is by having a desire to hear his voice and to allow him to speak. "The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." Friends, the presence of God is expressed. It has been, it was then, and it still is expressed through his voice. Through his voice. I've only in my lifetime had one experience where I've heard the physical voice of God. And when I say I heard the physical voice of God, I mean I heard the voice outside of myself speaking to me in a particular circumstance. But friends, we need to position ourselves so that we are hearing the voice of God. It may not always be that external voice, but God is constantly looking to speak into our lives by his Spirit, and we need to get to know his voice. The last thing that I want to say today is this, that we need to commit ourselves to God. You see, we can never achieve intimacy with God through a casual encounter. We can never achieve intimacy with God through an on-off relationship. You know, the Bible talks about it like this. The Bible says that if we don't have an intimate relationship with God, it's like fornication. And if you don't know what fornication is, because it's a word that we don't use very often today, fornication is just a reference, a word that we use, which talks about having a sexual relationship outside of the context of marriage. Because marriage is a God-ordained thing, not a man-ordained thing. And it talks about that the only legitimate context for a physical, intimate relationship, remember, we're talking about this word, no, the only context for an intimate physical relationship is in the context of a marriage relationship. That's not me, that's God. That's what God says. And likewise, friends, we have to commit ourselves. If we want an intimate relationship with God, then it's not going to work if we have an on-off relationship with Him. That is not how you develop intimacy. You know, again, if I can use the marriage relationship, you know, none of us would have a good marriage if, you know, one or, you know, either of us, you know, said, look, the only way this marriage is going to work is, look, I just need maybe just a couple of months away. You know, I'll be back, but I just need two months to myself, you know, just to find myself, get my head together and whatever. If you were doing that, you know, every sort of 3 months, it was on rota, I tell you, you wouldn't have a very good relationship. You certainly wouldn't have what you could call an intimate relationship. And it's the same with God. We cannot develop intimacy with God if we have an on-off relationship with Him. Either we are for Him and we are toward Him, or we're not. And that requires a level of maturity. Because there are going to be things that come that look to take us away from the relationship that God wants for us. There are going to be people, there are going to be people that get in the way, that say things, that do things, and we think, oh well, I'm this Christianity, this this God life isn't for me. I'm so sick of it. Blah blah. Look, we've got to move beyond that. If we want an intimate relationship with God, it can't be an on-off relationship. It comes by determining to be constantly in relationship and seeking an intimacy with God. Conferences and seminars and speakers will last for a while, and they will. You know, they'll give you a little bit of a lift, but long term, we need to have a closer, intimate relationship with God. Let me finish with this then. Faith is not concerned with what we believe. Faith is about whom we believe. It's not what we believe, it's in whom we believe. And what, you know, and the person that we believe in has to be encountered through an intimate relationship. I can tell you about Jesus. I can tell you about God. But you're not going to know Him just from me telling you. The only way you're going to know Him is if you make the decision to draw near to Him and you make the decision to have an intimate, a close relationship with Him. So what's in your life right now that is stopping and hindering that relationship? What's in your life right now that is hindering the relationship? Just going to take a moment to allow the Spirit to speak to us. Holy Spirit, we ask you, in this moment, whether here in the building or wherever, Holy Spirit, would you bring the revelation, the understanding in this moment to know what it is that is hindering our relationship with you? It could be any number of things. It could be a health issue where you've seemingly have asked God to heal you and you haven't seen anything. And so you thought, well, I'm not really interested in this God. Could be a health issue. Could be a financial issue. Could be a relationship issue. Could be something that someone has said. Could be something that someone has done. Could be the way that you've been treated in the past. Any number of reasons that act as a barrier to us moving forward into a deeper relationship with God. But it's not God's intention that any of our relationships should be hindered. God wants a clear line of sight, as it were, in our relationship. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Whether you're in the room or you're watching from somewhere else, I'm going to ask you, if you're able to stand where you are, just in acknowledgement that God wants to do something in you by His Spirit. In the same way that we've already been reminded that Jesus sat down to say that it is finished, our standing is the indication that we acknowledge that we are an unfinished work, that God still desires to do something in us. And I'm not asking, you to reveal what it is. This is between you and God. This is part of that intimacy. But it's between you and God. And you may not feel at the moment able to deal with that issue, but just by your very standing, God sees the intention of your heart and He responds to that. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Yes, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you meet us where we are. We thank you, Lord, that even though you see us, and you know all our faults, our failings and shortcomings, you still choose to draw near to us. You still choose to reveal yourself to us by your Spirit. And Father, we ask in Jesus' name, because there is no other name by which we can come. Lord, we ask that you, Holy Spirit, the enabler, would empower us, would give us the will, the desire to determine in ourselves that, Father, we are going to do all that we can, as much as we are able to deepen our relationship with you, to draw nearer to you, and to allow you, Lord God, to speak into us and through us. Thank you, Jesus, that you have made the way. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that in this moment you would make an unhindered, uncluttered way for us to have and enjoy relationship with you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. I'm going to ask the Becky and Dave to come back and bring us our closing song. But even though we are coming to the formal part, the formal end of this particular service, it doesn't mean that we're coming to the end of what God wants to do. And so for those of you in the building, if you want to stay a little longer, you can do. Don't feel you need to rush off. If God is doing something by His Spirit, don't rush off. Likewise for you at home or wherever, you know, don't just rush off and go and do something else. Allow God by His Spirit in this moment to do what He wants to do. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.